This is a really good year. It's a strong year. We're coming out of the gate with $100 million in cash. And so the numbers that we were talking about off camera, Andy, was the market cap today is about $540 million. With $100 million in the bank, we're going to make about $50 million this year. Next year's a big year. Next year's a year where, if you go with our budget and our guidance and we plug in $3,700 gold, we are going to make a tremendous amount of cash flow. We'll make close to a couple $100 million next year. That's if gold's 3,700. That's a big year for a company that's market cap is $500 million. So your 60,000 ounces of production goes to 100, okay? And then with Johnson Tract coming online, you double it. So now you've got a 200,000 ounce a year gold producer. Now, by bringing the Kitsault Valley online, that's 5 million ounces of silver. So the vision is 200,000 ounces of gold and 5 million ounces a year of silver. And that could be understated. We could be in a position where both Contango and Dolly Varden historically had done a lot of M&A and bought projects and expanded. So that's just within the existing pipeline if we don't go elsewhere. So that's interesting. Now, what does that mean for the investor from a profitability standpoint? The easy way to look at that is this. For every 100,000 ounces you're producing, a $1,000 move in the gold price is about $100 million of profit.
Well, because it's a ridiculously low valuation, I think it's a bit of a aberration with just the merger and the arbitrage playing that and all that. So it's a great entry point. We've talked about that. Lots of catalysts coming up. The MRE is the next big one. Lots of drill results coming out from Lucky Shot, and just throughout the year, it'll be a very busy year up.
Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse and Sean Coonan, two of my favorite people, actually, some of my favorite people in this business. Rick, let's start with you. Congratulations to you both. Contango Silver and Gold now. Merger's complete. It's just really an exciting time. Talk to me a little bit about just the completion of everything, and then we'll get to you, Sean.
Yeah, Andy, good to talk to you again. Yeah, it's been a lot of work over the last several months getting this transaction closed and getting the merger done, and it's all kind of come together. Obviously, we've had a dramatically different market from when we started the process last summer, and but we'll work through that, and I think we're trading at a value where I think it's a great new entry point for shareholders. We had 99% of the shareholders from both companies agree that this is a smart transaction. So yeah, a lot of work to do. We've got a great portfolio of assets, tier one North American jurisdiction, and it's just it's go time.
Right. Talk a little bit about that, Sean. You were mentioning off camera here, off video, just how this is really just a sweet spot for you, a fun time for you. And I mean that with all due respect to it's there's always hassles and all of that, always things to do. But talk to me really about just the price of gold and silver where it's at. You guys have a lot of cash in the bank, but not only do you have cash in the bank, you're projecting a lot, as well as you have these just wonderful projects that you really brought to the table here. So yeah, go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, Andy, thanks for having us on, and thank you for your kind words. And it has been a lot of work for Mike Clark and Ann Fair and Rick and I a little bit too, but
Just a little.
just a little bit. But no, we're recording this here, at the end of March, right? And March 31st marks the end of the month, the end of the quarter, but for a lot of financial institutions, the end of the year. And there's some really interesting things that happens in markets March 31st. So I think we're coming into a time where there's a bit of a washout trade going out in gold and silver equities. We've had We've had one of the 2025 is one of the best years we've had ever in the sector in terms of price appreciation for the metal. You know, I think gold was up 60+%. And if you think about the profitability of the precious metals miners, so last year was a great year for Contango ore. And, you know, for the new Contango silver and gold, this is a really good year. It's a strong year. We're coming out of the gate with $100 million in cash. And so the numbers that we were talking about off camera, Andy, was the market cap today is about $540 million. With $100 million in the bank, we're going to make about $50 million this year. Next year's a big year. You know, next year's a year where, you know, if you go with our budget and our guidance and we plug in $3,700 gold, you know, we are going to make a tremendous amount of cash flow. You know, we'll make close to a couple hundred million dollars next year. That's if gold's 3,700. That's a big year for a company that's market cap is $500 million. But I think what we're starting to see some of the analyst reports, we just saw another one come through today. They're starting to give us value for the pipeline, right? And we've got a $16 share price, $16.50, and some of those targets are anywhere from $30 to $50 a share now. And so the analysts are getting it. They're seeing Johnson Tract, they're seeing the Kitsault Valley, they're seeing the Lucky Shot, they're seeing the cash flow from Manh Choh. And what I was saying, I've been doing this for 22 years. I'm excited to go out, you know, starting on the 1st of April, and introduce this company to the investing public down here at this valuation. Because I know, you know, what we're doing this year, what we're going to be doing next year. And that's not even factoring in the $50 million we're putting into the projects. There's going to be a lot of drilling. This is a company that has been at the top in North America for silver discoveries, for gold discoveries. So it's got everything. It's got exploration. It's got that development pipeline. It's got the cash flow. As Rick said, you know, tier one assets, self-funded, and it's in North America.
Yeah. So you might not have caught me, but I had to catch myself from, I was laughing almost because this is how you draw it up almost. And just as far as cash flow, coming in projects, as far as valuation of you, I mean, you guys are ridiculously cheap, and I'm not going to speak for you, but I'm just speaking for myself as an investor. But then what makes me just overly giddy is just the projects that are coming in. I mentioned to you, Sean, it's like, and I hope you are around for another 50 years or so, but for you guys, just to everything that you have coming on, I mean, this is going to last for the rest of your career, the rest of your lifetime, just if this were to stay as is. And that's just makes me very happy.
It's all about execution now. And we have the team to execute. We have the money to execute. You know, we have, as Sean said, we have $100 million in the bank. We're going to generate a lot of free cash flow this year based on a $3,700 gold price. Gold price is higher. We'll generate more. It's a solid company and a solid plan. And so it's all about execution. We're drilling now at Lucky Shot. We're permitting at Johnson. We'll be building a road this year at Johnson Tract and doing some geotechnical drilling at Kitsault. We'll have a mineral resource update by the end of Q2. That'll direct where we're going to do, roughly 40,000 meters of drilling. Every time Sean's drilled holes at Kitsault, they were always on the, you know, sort of the top 10 list of drill holes for the month or the period of time that they're reported in. So, it's a solid pipeline, and I think that is what the analysts are seeing. And that we have the cash flow to execute. So, we'll be around for 50 years.
Well, Rick, with all due respect, I think you're underselling it. It's just me as an investor. Yeah, solid is a relative term, but I think it's solid is again very well underselling it. Talk a little bit again. You just talked about the execution through the next few quarters, but really walk me through the year. You got all of this cash flow coming in. But just, yeah, walk me through the year and then also address the hedges that you had. Those are being paid down significantly or have been paid down significantly. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with the hedges. Yeah, the last year and a half since we started producing gold at Manh Choh, the main directive has been to pay off the debt and to pay down the hedges. So I think we're down into, under $14 million of debt, and the hedges are, I think, under 20 now, or Mike just keeps delivering into them. The objective is by the end of the year, no hedges, no debt. To be completely debt free. And just, keep in mind that we make money on our hedge gold. It's not like the hedges aren't below water by any stretch. So yeah, we're doing well. In terms of the plan, the sort of milestones coming up here, I think the MRE, the mineral resource update on Kitsault is the next big one. We'll get cash distributions from Manh Choh and quarterly updates and things like that. We'll continue to have drilling results from Lucky Shot. We're going to put them out in sort of big batches. We'll probably have one more before the drilling stops at Lucky Shot, and we get the miners back in to build some more access tunnels, exploration access tunnels for more drilling. That'll continue all year long. And then sometimes at the end of the year, early next year, we'll then have a mineral resource update for Lucky Shot and then start to put the mine plan together. Because keep in mind, again, this is a DSO project. All of our projects are DSO, direct shipping ore. So doing a feasibility study basically is a mine plan and a transportation plan. And specifically, a transportation plan is transporting the ore where. So those are things we're working on now. And of course, Kitsault, when the MRE comes out by the end of Q2, that'll direct the 40,000 meters of drilling. A lot of the drilling going forward is now we're going to be shifting from an exploration focus to an infill mine planning focus, and with the objective of delivering an initial assessment, or in Canadian parlance, a PEA, early next year. So want to get the drilling this year is going to be dedicated to whatever other infill drilling we need to do. And then if we've got some really hot areas, we'll expand on those. We want those in the initial assessment. We'll do some exploration. There's some parts of the portfolio in the Kitsault Valley area that we just haven't gotten to, and there's some pretty exciting things out there. So we'll have a modest amount of budget dedicated to that, but the real focus is to put together an overall development plan for the Kitsault Valley assets. I mean, there's five deposits. They're all open. There's plenty of things to do and plenty of places to drill. So
Excellent. Sean, pivot to you some here. What I've really always appreciated about you is just how you tell the story and how you present. You're very good at that, and also just the dream. And I say that dream with, there's a lot of dreams out there that don't have they're just that, they're dreams. But you've really executed on the dream when this was Dolly Varden. What's the dream now, and what would you communicate with that? And also talk to me a little bit about just you guys are going to be making a ton of money at 3,700 gold, $50 of silver, but how does that get exponentially better, and where do you see? I don't want you to project so much the price, but we live in a world that's high in printing money and low in metal. And so talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about that in the context of the market, right? Because that's important, right? We are in a market, and we're in a world that's reacted to some big news events, including a recent war. But I'd like to just go back to January, when the share price was more than twice what it is today, just 2 months ago. And yes, we've seen a pullback for all the equities. I think we've been beaten up a little bit more than others, and there's a reason for that. Anytime you put a merger together and we've done a lot of case studies around this. You lag your peers until the merger's complete. There's some uncertainty. For some of the minority shareholders, it's not what they signed up for. We've kind of churned through and worked through all that. But to get back to your question around the real vision and like a dream that is an achievable dream. So if you look at the life of mine at Manh Choh, it's about a 60,000 ounce a year producer. So the reality is, by bringing in Lucky Shot, you go from 60 initially to 90, but then to 100. So your 60,000 ounces of production goes to 100. Okay. And then with Johnson Tract coming online, you double it. So now you've got a 200,000 ounce a year gold producer. Now, by bringing the Kitsault Valley online, that's 5 million ounces of silver. So the vision is 200,000 ounces of gold and 5 million ounces a year of silver. And that could be understated. We could be in a position where both Contango and Dolly Varden historically had done a lot of M&A and bought projects and expanded. So that's just within the existing pipeline if we don't go elsewhere. So that's interesting. Now, what does that mean for the investor from a profitability standpoint? The easy way to look at that is this. For every 100,000 ounces you're producing, a $1,000 move in the gold price is about $100 million of profit, right? So as we grow, and if gold isn't 3,700, if it's 4,700, on 100,000 ounces, that's $100 million. And again, we're not talking about a company here that's valued at $2 or $3 billion. We're talking about a company that's valued at $544 million. So to me, I don't have to sell much of a dream here. This is just like Rick said, it's all about execution. And the market, I think, wants to see us stay disciplined, stay focused, execute. But the good news is, like, if you go back to I think it was the 25th of February, where a new vein was discovered at Lucky Shot. Well, that wasn't modeled into any of this stuff. The work we're going to be doing at the Kitsault Valley, the new MRE, like, there's a lot of potential catalysts and surprises to the upside to complement a very, very profitable business.
Yeah, no, it really is. And again, I have to keep on pinching myself not to laugh. And I'm not laughing at you too. I'm just laughing at the math, how ridiculously good it looks. And I got to be careful with what I say, because there's always things to all my investors, all my listeners and viewers. I mean, things always go wrong. That's just the nature of business and of mining. But just taking what you said is just, that's enough. I mean, that creates a crazy good picture, a really great picture. Rick, comment a little bit about the vision is for you with what Sean just said. And I think of this as like, you guys are, there's rungs obviously of mining companies, and you keep on leaping to the next curve, if you would. How is that leap to the next curve in in production and exploration for Contango, silver, and gold?
Yeah, so I'll say M&A is in our DNA. It was in Dolly Varden's DNA, and I think that's what's helped us both get to the place we were. And we're not going to stop that. And I think the next logical thing for us to do is, we talked about this before, is buying a mill to be able to process the ores from Johnson Tract and Kitsault. They're both sulfide ores. They're both polymetallic. One's gold rich. One's silver rich. So there's, that was always the big synergy between our two companies, and the Kitsault and Johnson Tract assets specifically. So, we will continue to grow. We've got a lot on our plate, and I think the main thing right now is acquiring a mill to process both our these wonderful ore bodies. We've got time. We're not going to, try to do something rushed. We want to do our due diligence, and we want to make sure it's the right fit. But that's I think that's definitely, one of the things we're taking a look at. Now, for Lucky Shot's got lots of options because it's close to the rail line, and it's I think in 2 years we'll be in production at Lucky Shot. And Sean mentioned the KM vein, very exciting. When you're drilling, multiple meters of multiple ounces per ton, you add ounces up very quickly, and it doesn't take a lot of room. And the fact is, it's right above us, and right below us in the West Drift. So when I talked to Chris Kennedy, our VP operations, and he was formerly the general manager at Pogo. He knows these kind of vein systems and how to mine them. He's like an ideal mining situation for him. He's like, this will be very straightforward and easy. So we're just, like I say, we're in a good spot. We've got a lot of news flow, a lot of catalysts coming, and I think this entry point is a wonderful place for investors to get reacquainted or to top up on this developing mid-tier gold and silver producer and North American bait. So yeah, I think it's an ideal setup, and Sean and I are both excited to hit the road and start marketing the story. We've got a very busy schedule over the next actually for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you do. And I hope to see you both in that. Well, I will see you, Rick, in Atlanta, but I hope to see you as well, Sean, in Atlanta. Really looking forward to it. But Sean, let's pivot a little bit back to you. I was talking to other people, so many, and I won't name drop, but big players in the industry. And one of my apprehensions about BC specifically, one of the exciting things, it's so well endowed. But one of the pauses I always had was just it can be a challenging place to navigate. But you've navigated that exceptionally well. Talk about just how you did that, and the value that brought to the company, and just navigating BC, and just again, if you get the right company, the right person that can do that with relationships, it can turn out to be a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing, which is what happened with you. But comment about that.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. So I'm born and raised in BC, and I've been in the mining industry for 22 years, but I deliberately avoided BC for the first decade. And I too had those same ideas of BC that, whether it was government, whether it was actually First Nations, I had a negative view on mining in BC. And actually what changed it for me was the work Bob Quartermain and a company called Pretium did at a project called Brucejack. And there was a woman, Kelly Earl, that started an organization around the same time Brucejack was going into production. It was called the BC Regional Mining Alliance. And it was it brought together First Nations, it brought together the government, and it brought together companies. And so I really want to give Kelly credit. She was working with an up-and-coming junior miner at the time called Skeena Resources. Skeena, I don't know the exact valuation of the company today. It's measured in the billions, but it was measured in the tens of millions at the time. So from 30 million to call it 3 or 4 billion today. And essentially, I got to work on the good work people like Kelly and Rob McLeod with his relations. He's a third generation miner from Stewart, BC. He had the relationship with Nishka Nation, with other groups like Tall Ten. And I got to hand it to the BC government, whether it was left government, right government, NDP or Liberal. They recognized that regionally, to listen to communities and to support those communities by bringing in infrastructure. So it's interesting when you talk about how our endowment is going to last 50 years or 100 years. That's actually exactly how they're planning up in the Golden Triangle. So when you talk to Tall Ten leaders, Nishka leaders, or you talk to government or companies like Newmont, they're planning for a century ahead. And so I just feel like, look, I was really blessed to walk into a really warm situation. It's like the Kevin Costner movie, Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. And that's what the government did. They supported with infrastructure. Can permitting move a little faster? Of course it can, right? But if you respect water and you respect the communities, you get your permits in a timely manner. I am the only corporate director of an organization, the BC Regional Mining Alliance, which is Nishka, its companies like Contango now, and it's the BC government. So it's a BC is on regionally. You just have to be in places like the Golden Triangle that have 100-year history. And if you look at the government from a federal level, from like the Carney administration out of Ottawa, they've recognized British Columbia as number one because of its density of mineral deposits, the endowment. And then because you have positive First Nations groups who want these mines, they're very industrial. And then you've got, so you've got the government on side willing to do things like through the infrastructure fund, build more infrastructure. So there are zero interest or low interest loans available. They're zero interest to First Nations and they're low interest to companies. So it's a really good environment.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Rick, let's go to you. What are some final thoughts here? And what I mean, final thoughts, just until I have you on again soon. What should be, you just went over, you spoke about just the news that's hitting, but what should really investors should be taking into account over the next several weeks? And why Contango silver and ore now? Silver and gold right now?
Well, because it's a ridiculously low valuation. I think it's a bit of a aberration with just the merger and the arb playing that and all that. So it's a great entry point. We've talked about that. Lots of catalysts coming up. The MRE is the next big one. Lots of drill results coming out from Lucky Shot, and just throughout the year, it'll be a very busy year. Obviously, we've got 40,000 meters of drilling planned for Kitsault. Johnson Tract is permitting, so I've always described that as sort of the boring side of the Lassonde curve. But we will be constructing a road, we'll be upgrading camps. So there's some solid things going on there, getting ready to get the underground work done next year at Johnson Tract. So I'd say it's a catalyst rich environment for news flow throughout the year. And I'd say nothing fundamentally has changed for gold and silver in my mind. The Warren Rand is talked, oil prices have gone up, they've doubled pretty much. And that'll have a follow-on effect down the road if they're sustained. Lots of opinions and discussion on, how long does this last? Is this a set a new benchmark? What is it? But one thing I will say in that context of, are we looking at another wave of inflation? This is where the DSO model really kicks in, because we're not building a bunch of new infrastructure. We've got a relatively small amount of infrastructure to do to support Johnson Tract. We have almost no infrastructure to build for Lucky Shot. And Kitsault, we've got a road already there. We've got to make some improvements on it and update it, or upgrade it. But so this is the big advantage of the DSO model. If you've got somebody that can produce a couple of hundred thousand ounces of gold, but it's going to cost you $1 billion or $2 to build it, and you're in an inflationary environment, the market's going to adjust to that. So this, in my mind, this is another big advantage of the DSO model, because you're using existing infrastructure, existing mining facilities, already permitted mining milling facilities. So that's, I think we'll see that longer term become another talking point that we'll be hitting on in the future. But right now, lots of catalysts. We've got a busy marketing schedule, and I think Sean and I are excited to get new investors into our Contango silver and gold story. That it's good entry point.
Yeah, Sean, what are your final thoughts until I have you on again?
My final thoughts are this. We're coming out of we're in a very exciting market. 2025 was a historic year for the metals, for the equities. But the 10 years that preceded that were difficult. And, that had led to, a lot of projects not seeing the funding, and a lot of companies, either dying or capitulating. Rick and I managed to grow and to thrive and to win in a very difficult environment. And now we're in a position where we've positioned the company at a place where we're not trying to be Agnico, we're not trying to be Newmont, we're not trying to be Barrick. We're positioning ourselves as the mid-tier silver and gold producer, particularly in a safe jurisdiction. So if you're looking for that emerging horse, it's, I feel like any one of our four major districts has the potential to support our current valuation. And so what I would say is get to know us. You've heard us talk about our plan. It's all there on our website. And get to know us and then watch what we're about to do here. And I'm excited to deliver on a promise. It's and that cash flow and that pipeline and that continued commitment to continue to explore and expand is going to continue us growing. So it's an exciting time, and it sounds kind of corny, but it is a little bit of a dream come true for me to be part of a company like this. This is what I've been aspiring to do my whole career, and now it's here.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to both of you. And to me as an investor, Rick, if people want to do more due diligence, if they want to get to know you and Sean and Contango Silver and Gold, what's your website? What exchanges are you traded on, and what's your ticker?
Yeah. So ticker symbol is CTGO. We are on the NYSE American. We will soon be on the TSX, the big board. There was a bit of a delay and from transitioning the Dolly trading from TSXV to TSX, but that'll get resolved here hopefully in a few days, maybe up to a week. And then our website is now contango.com. So we simplified it because we didn't want to write out Contango Silver and Gold. That seemed too long. So we got the contango.com. So visit us at our website as well, which should be up to date. And we're doing an overall refresh on the website, but there should be one up to date right now that will sort of hang in there for the interim period, and then we'll get a full refresh done in a couple of weeks.
I'll put all of that in the show notes, both on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for your time, and to all my viewers and listeners. I'm very friendly with both Rick and Sean. Rick and I have spent a lot of time together, both in some local breweries here in Atlanta and just hanging out. And so just full disclosure with all of that. So looking forward to hopefully seeing you both, but seeing you guys down in Atlanta here in the next month or so. To all my viewers in Atlanta, you want to make sure that you spend some time with Rick and hopefully Sean as well. Want to thank you again so much for your time, and I'll have you guys on anytime you guys want.
Andy, always good. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Andy. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Likewise. Take care, guys.